This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello and welcome to Apple This Extra number 55. And today I am joined by Anonymous himself, Mr. Thomas Donville. How are you, Thomas?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me on, Dave. This is going to be an exciting interview.
Excellent. Delighted to have you. And we are delighted to be joined from the team behind the new FlickType keyboard app. We have Costa. Costa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I got to say, I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time now.
I know we have too, and so have many people on the website on applebiz.com. So I'm sure everyone's really looking forward to hearing this. So thank you so much. Do you want to start maybe by telling us a little bit before we get into the nitty gritty? You know, give us an overview of what FlickType actually is for those who don't know.
Yeah, definitely. So the way I would describe FlickType is that it is the fastest virtual keyboard for blind and low vision users on iOS. So it uses the familiar QWERTY layout, so there's not like an entirely new system for you to learn, but it couples that with just a couple of really powerful gestures to provide the most common typing tasks beyond just literally typing a word. So it just makes it for a much, much more intuitive and really fast and easy typing experience.
So it's like a predictive typing, so it kind of predicts as you're going to be typing, and that's basically how that keyboard response.
Kind of, yes. That might be a good way to describe it, yes.
And then it's a standalone, right? So it's a standalone app. It's not a keyboard API that hooks into like your keyboard profile.
So that's right. It currently is a standalone app, and there's a few reasons why that is. But we actually already have started building out what will be a system-wide keyboard, and we're hoping to actually launch both of those pretty soon.
Okay. Excellent. I just want to make sure that the users that have never used anything like this before, it's a standalone. So as you type things, it you type the words you want, and then you can copy it to an app of preference, whatever that may be, and then paste it. And that's how that works. Correct.
And I suppose the predictions, they work. It's great because it works more on the patterns rather than what key you actually hit. So it sort of figures
yes.
out he was probably trying to write this and offers you suggestions based on that pattern.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Dave, for the clarification. That's great.
In fact, I would say that the keyboard doesn't really have keys in the traditional sense. It just tries to figure out what you type based on just where you touch the screen. So particularly with longer words, you could literally type it like anywhere on the screen and FlickType would just recognize it.
Yeah. It's fairly magical when it works, I can tell you. It's it's hard to believe sometimes. So do you want to give us a bit of background? Like how you yourself got involved into app development? I suppose the App Store has been around for 10 years now. It's having its 10th birthday. So how did you get into that game?
Definitely. So actually, when you mentioned the number of years, it's roughly the number of years that I've been doing app development, because I started out just like a couple of months into the App Store. And back at that time, the apps that were available there were just very few compared to just how many people were looking for apps and looking for new things to try out. So it was a very completely like very different landscape. And what I recall is still, you know, the iPhone was a new device, and I was just like most other people, amazed by all these new features that this device had, like this accelerometer and speakers and a large screen and like really powerful processor and all that. So I wanted to just put everything together and create a really new and unique experience that had just not been done before. And what I created was, back then it was a kind of a silly gimmicky little app that made it look like your screen was covered in steam with like little droplets and stuff, like after a hot shower. In the bathroom, and you could actually like touch it and it would make the squeaking noise of the mirror, and then you could even blow on the microphone and that would just make it like steam up more. So it was a little trick that became really, really popular, and ever since I just got hooked into app development and the iOS platform in particular.
There was a lot of apps like that around, weren't there, in those days, like ones that used, you know, pretended to be, looked like a pint of beer, and you could pour the beer out of the glass kind of, and that kind of stuff as well.
Yes.
A lot of stuff using accelerometers and stuff.
We had a lot of apps back then. It was amusing to ourselves. It was kind of a fun little gadget and funny apps to have back then.
Yeah, very little, very different landscape. Like you could not do any of these apps today, really. But back then, it was a thing that just could become really, really popular very, very quickly.
And this was long before third-party keyboards existed in iOS. So how did Flexi kind of come about as even an idea?
Well, even though it was long before keyboards existed, it wasn't long before, or rather, I already was experiencing personally frustrations with typing. So all this new kind of glass device would really change the way that typing felt. And as a result, it would cause this kind of huge cognitive load for someone to just type something. Like you had to stop doing as well as thinking about anything else and just fully concentrate on typing. So I've always felt as an engineer myself that there was a better way to just make this easier for everyone. You know, everyone types. So I was thinking, you know, how do I distill really what is the problem here? What are the most difficult pain points, so to speak? And what I was looking for was a revolutionary step. I didn't want to make just an incremental improvement in something because I knew that that would just not go very far, and let alone the fact that it would quickly be adopted by other keyboards. So I really tried hard to rethink the experience of typing, like from the ground up. What if it was just born for the touchscreen, when with the touchscreen in mind? Another thing is, my father is also a low vision iOS user, and you know, it's very likely that my vision will deteriorate at some point as well. And I think just generally getting older for most people, it means worsening vision. So I've always thought that a system that doesn't require you to be looking at this tiny screen and like not really having to worry about too much detail would just make so much more sense.
Hmm. So your father, was it low vision due to just aging, or did he have some sort of a syndrome or something that caused the vision loss?
It's not about aging. He has a condition. He has a few things, actually. One of them is glaucoma, and he's mostly lost sight from one eye. It's pretty hard for him to use this device. And thankfully, iOS is a great platform, and it has all these accessibility features that you can enlarge the text, you can invert the colors, and so forth. But there's still many tasks that are just too time consuming, I feel. And I think typing is just one of those things that's very near at the top of the list.
So the whole point was, the question really was to that you have someone in a family that's low vision and you can comprehend the problems and the day-to-day situation that they confront every day.
That's right.
Okay. And this, of course, we're talking here about Flexi. So how long ago was this? And
so Flexi was launched 2012. For those who don't know, that was, it is to this day, it is a keyboard. But it was born as a keyboard for blind and low vision users. And at the time, there was no support for third-party keyboards. That would be system-wide, as we mentioned already. And it would be an app where you could switch to that app, type what you wanted, and then quickly export it to whatever other app you wanted to use the text in.
Okay. And what part of that Flexi team were you responsible for? Like, what did you do for Flexi?
So I came up with the entire concept. It was my own idea. I was the sole person on the team, so to speak, for quite a while. I basically built out the prototype. And at some point, I remember that I read about the CSUN conference that year, and I thought, why don't I just polish the prototype a little bit more and take it over there and see what people have to say about it. And I recall that the reaction was just so strong that I really felt that that this is it. This is a product that is just going to change a lot of people's lives meaningfully for the better. And I really wanted to just build it out and have blind and low vision users as the core user group.
And was that always the intention that, you know, the blind and low vision users were your core market, or was there always that ambition to build it out, you know, to the mainstream? Because you mentioned your own frustration with typing on.
Yes. So I started off with the idea of making typing easier for everybody, because I think everybody types, and just from hearing people's opinions, it seems that typing is high up on the list of frustrations with everyone, no matter what the level of sight is. But then it was really apparent that the blind and low vision users would benefit more. And I thought, I don't need to cater to sighted users necessarily. So I just set out to build something for low vision and blind users. However, at some point, it seems like an obvious opportunity, right? You have a system that works great for blind and low vision users. Why not try to adopt it and have it be available for everyone? And I can tell you that even though that idea fits really nicely with making typing easier for everyone, that was much harder than it turned out to, than I initially had assumed.
Mm. Yeah, because we all, I suppose, remember when it kind of went mainstream and FlexiVO came along as a sort of a distinct app. So what's your kind of memories, your reflections on how and why that came about and how it turned out?
Some really bad decisions there. That's for sure. I want to provide some background because I think a lot of people are missing some points, you know, from our side of the story. And I think that's going to be helpful for everyone to understand. At the same time, I do want to extend an apology to the community, because I definitely understand that people got frustrated and rightly so. And it really honestly should not have been done this way. Now, going back to some of the reasoning, what happened is, like, we actually went after the entire spectrum of sight, from blindness to perfect vision, in terms of the users that we target. And we did that, like, very quickly, very aggressively. The reason for that was because the initial product, targeted just for blind and low vision users, was just not providing enough revenue to sustain it as a company. So to that end, I decided to seek out external capital to fuel the company. And with that came almost the obligation, if you want, to expand our reach and target a broader audience. Because most investors would just not even, like, be interested for ideas that have a very small target market. And at the same time, like I said, I didn't think that was, like, too much of a stretch, because I thought, hey, this is a typing system that people seem to love. Like, I don't see why it would be so hard to extend it to everyone. So with that came, as I mentioned, a lot of commitment and eventually just too much on our plate that was really hard to handle. FlexiVO was an effort in the journey of expanding our target market to at least temporarily have an app that voiceover users could use and have it be the reliable tool that they remembered, until we sort out the problems in our other app, if you want. Mm. Now, of course, that never really happened. And I think a lot of people remember that. It is not reasonable to expect that all problems will be sorted out and then we're going to do something, right? So I do want to remind that when we announced FlexiVO, and that was a really bad name, by the way, we did commit and delivered our commitment to bringing accessibility back into the other app. But for many technical reasons and other reasons that I can elaborate, it just never matched the experience of the original app. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be my memory. I do remember there were, you know, when you announced the split off of of FlexiVO, and there was, I think it's fair to say there was a lot of debate. You know, there was some of us thought, well, that's you know, it's reasonable because you're saying it's a temporary decision. Others kind of, I suppose, on principle, don't like the idea of having a separate app. So I'm sure it was a tough decision, and it was done for the right reasons. Oh, yeah. But I think, yeah, we never kind of, it felt like we never got there in terms of getting accessibility into the main app. You know,
I have to agree with Dave. Yeah, you know, what I recall was that, you know, we had Flexi that worked for both peers, sighted or non-sighted, and then when the Flexi VEO came out, we felt like we were being separated, like we were, okay, in order for you guys to be able to move on mainstream, we were slowing down your process and where you wanted to go in your roadmap with the Flexi, so you came up with the Flexi VO. And then I remember that there was some commitment that you guys actually hired a few specific accessible specialists on your staff that would go ahead and try to make the mainstream work, and then you would get rid of the VO, but that never came about.
Yeah, so we actually put a lot of work into making the other app accessible and really trying to bring back the experience that you had with the initial app. And there's many reasons here why that never happened. Ultimately, I do know that, you know, as a founder and CEO, it is my responsibility to make the right decisions at any point. But it goes back to this initial commitment where by bringing on investors and having a board and having so many different stakeholders have different opinions about what the priorities are very often, it just meant that we actually under-delivered, not just towards the accessibility users, but to everyone. Sighted users were also let down by a lot of issues, and it never became this kind of ideal typing experience that I was hoping for. So yeah, if I could go back in time, I would have definitely pushed harder for a slower and much, much steadier path forward to ensure that the voiceover use case would always remain a first class citizen of the app. And also thinking about, you know, what creating a new app at the time meant in terms of signaling to our users and to other developers. You know, I deeply regret that. It really was a manifestation of the fact that we couldn't keep up with everything that we had committed to and was already on our plate. And people saw that. I think some people definitely saw that, and frankly, they were right to point it out. I mean, some people might have been a little bit too mean, but I understand that it really meant a lot to them. So, of course, that didn't help much in getting more support afterwards from the different stakeholders at the company to, you know, improve and keep improving accessibility support. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that we put a lot of effort in trying to make that happen.
Oh, no, I totally get that. You're very transparent, and I appreciate that, and I know yours is going to be the same, but we also want to clear out the air that those that were can remember those times, and, you know, and, you know, you have to make money, right? And you have to monetize somewhere, and if the direction wasn't working the way you wanted, unfortunately, some things get left aside, and whether that's for sighted or non-sighted, it's just sometimes business just don't work as ways that we want to.
Yeah.
And so I get that.
And I think I've read comments and, you know, some people saying that an issue they had is they felt whether, you know, this wasn't clearly your intention, but they felt like because we paid, a lot of us paid for the app in those early days. And then when it went mainstream, it went free. So they kind of felt like they paid for an app that then later didn't address their needs, you know, and that's kind of where maybe some of the...
I totally get that. I understand that. And, you know, I definitely feel like I would have felt the same way, I believe. And I would like to point out that, again, the revenues actually from that initial app were just nowhere near enough to sustain the effort. So we've had to bring in external capital. And if you want, the biggest difference would have been if in bringing that external capital, we had told investors that we were remaining committed to just blind and low vision users, but we actually just couldn't find capital with that strategy alone. And from there on, it was really hard to keep pushing for accessibility the way that we could have if we had essentially remained in full control. So I think I've learned a lot from this mistake, and it's partly why I'm trying to bring back the original experience with FlickType and see where we can take it from there. And I wanted to also elaborate a little bit on something that that I heard from a lot of people, which is that you know, hey, you're saying that your new prediction engine in the other app is not as good for voiceover users, but how do voiceover users type any differently? Like, it's all the same typing. And I get that from the outside, but actually, I wanna provide a little bit of an explanation here. Sighted people can get very frustrated when the keyboard doesn't seem to be respecting their key presses, mm-hmm. right? Because if they feel like they press O and then the keyboard just changes the word not to include the O that they press, then that's just frustrating. So just like a blind person might be frustrated that the keyboard is not correcting or helping them. And in fact, this kind of correct me more versus respect me more difference of expectation exists even within sighted users as a group. And I was personally convinced that we'd resolve this problem while maintaining a unified system. And this is why we at some point removed the VO app. And even though I still think this can be solved, tackling the issue with the resources we had at the time proved much harder than anticipated. So, and you know, all this was happening while the negative feedback just kept piling on. So eventually there was a lot of friction in the company in terms of bringing back the VO app or just getting people excited about working on accessibility. So I just hope that this offers some new perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can certainly completely understand why the sighted experience of a keyboard like this would be different, because more than likely we're hitting maybe 10% of the correct keys and a sighted person is maybe hitting 90% of the correct keys. So
no doubt.
How things are coming together is going to be different.
And in some ways, it's less about sighted people being more accurate, and it's more about people that see the key they touched, they just don't expect from their own, as they're typing the rest of the words, they just don't expect that to change.
Yeah.
But they do want it to change if it was wrong. So it's just really, really hard creating a keyboard. I've learned that the hard way, of course. Mm-hmm. But I really think that focusing on a kind of a narrower slice of the problem and catering to blind and low vision users, there's still a lot of room for improvement over what is available today.
Absolutely. And that's what's led you to FlickType, I assume.
Exactly. I mean, you know, in terms of why are we doing this? And by the way, this is an effort, a personal effort of me and my wife. In all honesty, we want to be doing something that feels like it's meaningful work. We want to wake up every day and, you know, feel great about what we're working on and how that impacts people's lives in a meaningful way. This is what motivates us. So, and just reading some of the mail we're already receiving makes us just so excited and lucky to be working on such a project. And it does kind of remind me of the initial days of Flexi. And again, concentrating on accessible typing alone is I think how we can get really, really good at it. So that's why we're going to be launching FlickType.
That's unusual. So you decided to get back into the chair of doing revamping what was known as Flexi. Now you're going to this new way. And so what were you doing before, between time? Were you guys doing some other projects and things like that?
So that's a great question. So Flexi, for those of you that are not aware, was actually acquired by Pinterest almost a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Less so for the technology itself and more for the team. What that meant was that I, together with some other people from the team, were at Pinterest for a while. And then it was only a few months ago that I left the company and decided that given the current text input landscape, I felt that there is a great opportunity here to push the boundary further.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that because you're probably, this was your baby from the get-go. And then you kind of hand it off to this company that took over your baby. And now you're kind of back in circle that you want to come back to your original state of, I want to go back to where I started. And this is where I wanted to be. And that was to make it more accessible for the needs. And that's where you felt passion for. Is that why you went back and decided to pick this back up?
Exactly. And if nothing else, I feel like by learning from my mistakes, as well as, you know, experience being a better engineer today, there's just so many new and fresh ideas that I have that I'm hoping to bring to reality. And also, I want to remind everyone that just like with Flexi, we do want to involve everyone to just basically join the conversation and let us know how we can improve typing for you.
Yeah, that's clear. I mean, you've been very engaged on AppleVis.com over the last few months, which is great. Can you tell us, or to what extent can you tell us about your kind of your plans or ambitions for the development of the app?
Sure. So, you know, at the very minimum, and like personally, in terms of basically writing what was wrong, I want to provide the original Flex experience for free to everyone. That's just as a bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Now, beyond that, like I said, there's so many ideas. There's new APIs today. Things have improved a lot. My ambition is to integrate FlickType as deeply as possible on iOS and make it the most popular way that blind and low vision users type. This is my ambition, and there are many steps towards that goal. And I think that the kind of first steps beyond providing what was there already for free is to establish this as a project that is sustainable both for us in terms of working on it, as well as for everyone to feel like it's a reliable tool that that really helps them every day.
Now, when you say sustainable and being free, and not going back to where you had the problem with the Flexi, was that there was no capital there and you had to go a different direction. Mm-hmm. How is that going to be different this time around? And I mean, how do you monetize? How do you make money for yourself? Are you doing this on the side?
That's a great question. This is not a side project. This is the main project that we are working on. And while the original Flexi experience, as it was, will be released for free for everyone, all the new things that we're going to be working on will be for some small, very reasonable fee. Because this is the way that we think we can make the project sustainable. And going back a little bit to how Flexi initially just did not provide enough capital to sustain it, I think one big difference here is that given that this is our sole focus in terms of the group of users we are targeting, we are going to, and we've learned from the past experiences, we're going to be priced much more reasonably, and we're hoping that people will see that and will help us and support us in terms of building it out and making it be the product that they want to be using. We really think that we haven't fully explored just how sustainable a product like this can be in the market. Mm-hmm. And my gut instinct is that it can be, but okay, there needs to be the right approach and the right attitude and the right focus on the blind and low vision users.
So you're thinking down the roadmap that for now it's being free, but at some point you may put some new features in there that might be for in-app purchases that you buy straight out or subscription or you don't have any idea?
We haven't decided on any plan yet, but I want to reiterate that we really want this to be very, very reasonable. Like it's going to be nothing like what Flex initially launched as, because this is less about getting some initial capital and more about building a long-term relationship with the entire community. So I don't know what exactly the model is going to be, but expect something very, very reasonable.
And to reiterate, you see blind and low vision users as the market, as opposed to, you know, where Flexi went out into the mainstream, or long-term, do you still believe you could do both?
No. So this time around, we have no intention now or ever on targeting sighted users. I think it's a spectrum, and I like to describe it as blind and low vision users being our core group. Now, what low vision means, it's open to interpretation, but I think just to give you an idea, I doubt that we will ever have a space bar, for example. That would really change the way that the entire system is designed to be efficient, and it's something that sighted users desire, but low vision users just would much rather do a non-accurate flick across the screen than press a space bar.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's possibly one of my favorite things about Flexi is that there's no space bar. Favorite things about FlickType is that there is no space bar, there's no caps lock key, there's no shift key, there's no delete key.
Yeah.
Meaning I'm not accidentally hitting those keys when I intended to hit the letter L or the letter C or what have you.
Right. And on top of that, we want to maintain this to be a full screen keyboard, because we've heard from a lot of people that one other aspect they really loved about Flexi was that they just, you know, have to worry about not just other keys, but other elements on the screen at all. And I think that's really important, especially when you consider like longer form content. You want to type a long email. Like, we don't want you to feel like you need to get to your hardware keyboard or be at home to type that email. Like, we want to make you as productive as possible in like no matter how long the text the type is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody have not ever tried this new FlickType or Flexi, it's really hard to explain for those that never use it, but I promise you, and I think Dave can back me up on this, it is like night and day when it comes to using this from a QWERTY keyboard to this FlickType. It's just magically there. It's just like it's in the air, and you just go in the direction where you think the letter T is, and you go over here where you think the letter O is, and it just really performs fast and quickly. And that's what the beauty of this FlickType. It is really responsive, very fast, much faster than you could ever possibly think you could ever do. I know there's a lot of people out there that agree with me on this, that it's tough typing on that QWERTY keyboard, and we're just slow, but this really does make a big difference.
Yeah. I type reasonably fast for a voiceover user on the regular keyboard, but with FlickType, you don't have to wait and hear what letter it is. You just tap, and then
go. Yes. Exactly.
You look like you to anyone watching you look like a sighted person typing. You're just
What I really like is that there is maybe a way to describe this, that there's this element of faith that you need to have in the system, and just trust it to do the right thing. You just keep tapping away where you think the letters are. At the end of the word, you just do a flick, and hopefully you just hear your word being pronounced.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there much work to be done, or how difficult is it in terms of getting those patterns? And, you know, because if it doesn't give you the right suggestion first, you swipe down to get other suggestions. But how does it figure out, like, which one of those words is the one you actually wanted? Does it kind of look at your long-term, what you've been writing into the app, or?
As it is today, it doesn't look too much into how you typed before. It's mostly about observing the shape, if you want, of the word as the the points of the screen where you touch were connected. So if you were to draw a line between the points, you're basically connecting like a long string of tracing the keyboard. And maybe just thinking of the word banana, for example, you will notice that your finger will just keep alternating between, say, the bottom middle of the screen and the left part of the screen. You'll do that three times for B-A-N-A-N-A. Now, there's only very few words that also exhibit the same pattern of how you would move the finger across your screen. So whether you type that near the bottom of the screen or whether you move everything a little bit higher, you know, it doesn't make much difference. The FlickType engine should be able to just figure that kind of shape and get it right. And like you mentioned, one of the most common next tasks for whenever it just didn't get it right is for people to be changing the auto-correction. And we wanted to make that as easy as possible so that just another flick down where you can cycle through the alternative suggestions. In the future, though, one of the plans is to make this much, much smarter in terms of how you type so that it will eventually literally reflect the model and shape of where you think the keys are on the screen and go off of that every time you use it.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
That's the plan, I think.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Obviously, a lot of people are excited to have this experience back. So when do you expect to see it in the App Store?
So we are in beta right now. And by the way, anyone can join. You can just email us at beta@flicktype.com. But we are hoping to launch very soon, and that would like most likely mean this month. So I don't want to give out a specific date because it's still a little hard to figure out just you know, what are the big things that we need to address before a launch. We need testers to actually let us know. So the more testers we have, the better that is. And you can also visit our website, flicktype.com. That's FlickType. And read a lot about it, and also view our roadmap and vote on features that you'd like to see. So we're hoping for this to be released very, very soon. And actually, we couldn't be more excited about that. Launch day is going to be a big day for us.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I appreciate you giving the email for those that want to jump on the beta testing. I know that AppleViz, there's a good forum that's been going. There's been a lot of discussions about people's feedback and suggestion, and you've been pretty hard on that, and you've been very quite responsive and very awesome and responding back in duly time and explaining the situation. And thank you for the bugs and stuff. But the flicktype.com, so you can go to get more information about the roadmap and more information. That's very useful to there. So
absolutely.
I appreciate that.
And as a beta tester myself, I can say that, you know, I've reported issues, and within like 24 hours, you've had a new build. This issue has been addressed.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been quite a few very long days and nights, but again, this is what motivates us. We love to hear feedback, and you know, we especially love to hear the success stories and how much you love it. But it's equally important to get feedback about things that just are not working as well as they should. And by all means, just keep reporting, even if it's the same thing and you just want to remind us, we would love to hear.
Yeah. And for people, you know, there might be people who aren't too experienced with beta testing. It's a really simple enough process. Once you email the guys, they will send you a link, and there is an app in the App Store called TestFlight. TestFlight, and you simply open that like you would open the App Store, and you can download and update the app there. So
it's very accessible.
It's a really
very accessible,
successful, really simple process. So if you're interested, I would say don't hesitate.
No, I appreciate it. That's very useful information, and I'm glad to hear that it is coming up soon. And you know, I'd be honest, it is really, really an honor and wonderful to hear. As tough as these questions were, and I know they were pretty tough to you, but I really appreciate the transparency and the clarification on a lot of these things that just to clear out the air. And but I am so excited that you decided to come back and pick it up and run with it. And as wonderful as you've been on to AppleVis, I hope that this continues for a long time and that we have a good relationship for many years down the road. And I really hope that people, if they don't want to try the beta, that's fine. Just wait for the release to come out and give it a try. It will help Costa and his business so they can monetize this and be able to live on this and be on the same time. We have something that is extremely valuable that we can use, that we can feel like we're actually typing much faster and are less frustrating when we have to do things. But the big question I have, and I know a lot of people are asking the same thing, we kind of touched on this a little bit before, but keyboard, the keyboard API. I mean, I know that's probably, everybody's been badging you on that, haven't they?
Are you looking with regards to the system-wide keyboard?
Yep.
Yeah, so obviously that's the number one request. And we would not be doing what we're doing now if we didn't think that this was actually possible. And it's always been my dream to bring that amazing full screen typing experience into every single app on iOS. So I couldn't be more excited to make this happen. And work is already underway. It will take some time because what is going on now is I am actually rewriting. I am writing this from scratch, the new keyboard that's going to be everywhere. So this is just a little bit of background here. Thankfully, Flexi, the company, a couple of years ago with acquisition to Pinterest, agreed to open source the source for the original app. And this is kind of where we're starting from. But this is very old legacy code that, you know, many different people have worked on, and many things have broken since new iOS releases have come around. So this is a great opportunity to just start fresh and even rethink some of the experience and make it much, much better than it ever was, in addition to being in every app. And also to your previous point, I did want to say thank you and really appreciate the opportunity for the interview. I'm glad to sort of clear the air, as you say. And if there's any remaining questions by anyone on, you know, background and what happened and what's going to happen, I do invite everyone to just post their questions on AppleVis, and we'll respond very quickly.
That's great, and we do really appreciate your transparency and your willingness just to engage. It's fantastic, and it's, as Thomas said, it's great to see that your own personal commitment to this project. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes. So
yeah. I'm excited too. I really appreciate it and what you've been doing. And as a community, we thank you as well for wanting to come back and pick this up. This is fantastic. I think this is going to be a wonderful experience for everybody.
Thank you.
So do you want to quickly recap the information for people to get involved?
Definitely, yes. So you can follow us on Twitter at FlickType. Again, it's Flick, F-L-I-C-K. And we have a website, flicktype.com, with a lot of information. Still very new website, so we're constantly updating it. And anyone that wants to get the beta, just send us an email to beta@flicktype.com. You don't really have to type anything else. We're just going to add you to the test flight beta right away. And hopefully we'll hear your thoughts.
Fantastic. And Thomas, I believe you are at Anonymous on Twitter.
Well, actually, it is Thomas_Domville, but the display name is Anonymous. But you can always contact me on if you have any questions as well at thomas@appleviz.com.
Fantastic. And you can find myself on Twitter at DavidNason1, DavidNason1. And thanks again, Costa, for joining us. It was great to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, too. It was an honor to have you on again. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, and thanks for listening, and keep up to date on AppleVis.com. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AppleVis Extra. To learn more about it,